around the country and actually around the world, people are remembering September 11th, 10 years ago. As we begin our service this morning, and what I would like for us to do is I would like for us to start this message or this time of message together by standing, and we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We don't do this just as a act of patriotism, but to remind us, and this is important, folks, and I love it. I don't even have to tell you to stand up. To remind us that we are and are meant to be one nation under God. Let's just say it together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I always want to say amen. You may be seated. There are events in human history that impact us greatly. And some impact us so greatly that they're forever ingrained in our minds, and we remember and see where we were and go through the things that happened as we heard the news. I'll never forget. I was in sixth grade, and I was sitting in class at school, and the announcements came over, and it said that the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, had been assassinated. I remember that time. I didn't fully understand what it meant, but I remember hearing that, and it hit me, and it impacted me, and I went home, and when I got home, I turned on the old black and white TV, because back then we didn't have color TVs. Some of you remember black and white television, but I turned it on, and I watched and watched and watched as the media at that time, and it was nothing like what we have today, talked about President Kennedy. Is he alive? Is he dead? They just kept going back and forth. And in the coming days, all of the news and all of the media. I remember driving my vehicle. I was at work. I was working for the state at that time. And I was headed out to do some work in a timber, which is what my job was. And as I was headed out, I'm listening to the radio. And they talked about the space shuttle going up. And I heard we have liftoff and so far into it. And all of a sudden, the radio announcer said, it just blew up. I remember that. And I remember pulling my truck to the side of the road and listening. Did I hear this correctly? And they're talking how the shuttle blew up and everyone in it was killed. And I remember it just left a nasty feeling in my stomach. And there on the side of the road, I prayed. Well, 10 years ago, I'll never forget sitting. As most of you know, I'm not an early, I don't get started too early. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is drinking a little cup of coffee and watching Good Morning America. And I'm sitting, I'm watching Good Morning America, drinking my coffee, and there's this interruption on it and says, a plane has just flown into the towers. And we don't know, and I remember him saying, we don't know if this was on purpose, we don't know if this was an accident, but the tower's on fire, and you can see the news people coming out of the building there with Good Morning America. The cameras are up, and they're focused on the tower, and they're trying to understand, they're trying to figure out what's going on, and then all of a sudden, here comes another plane, and it flies into the other tower, and it is photographed, and there's footage, and you see it, and you're thinking, what is happening in our world? What is happening in this secure country that we live in? And then it begins to break the news. The Pentagon's been hit. There's a plane gone down in Pennsylvania. And I remember that. And that news brought me to tears. And even as I think of it today, it deeply disturbs me Is that what war is? Is that what it looks like? This was on our land, our country, our nation. And folks, those images, they're burned deep in my mind. You no doubt remember exactly where you were and what you were doing when you first heard the news. Well, what is it that we should remember? That's what I want to talk about this morning. We need to remember the cost in human lives. On September 11th, 2001, nearly 3,000 people lost their lives at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and of course the rural fields of Pennsylvania. It was the most devastating attack on American soil that had ever existed. It costed more lives than even the attack on Pearl Harbor, which took 2,500 lives. On that day, 19 cowardly individuals who killed in the name of religion carried out an insidious attack. We need to be careful not to forget the lives that were lost on that dreadful day and not to forget the lives of those that have forever been changed as a result of it. Not forget the widows who are raising children alone, and not to forget the parents who will never hold their children again. We need to remember. We need to remember the extraordinary acts of heroism and compassion. We also need to not forget the heroism that was shown by ordinary people who rose to the occasion in extraordinary ways. Reactions to this crisis brought forth the best, and it did bring forth the worst in people. And there were dark spots that followed that, such as a Pakistani woman here in the U.S., who was run down while crossing a supermarket parking lot with her groceries simply because she wore the traditional dress of her homeland. There's unnumbered acts of heroism. Some recorded and many were not. There were many lights in the darkness. And September 11th has shocked this nation. And in remembering that tragic day, we need to gain a renewed respect for those who have proven themselves to be true heroes. We need to remember the firefighters who charged in to save lives, risking their own lives and many of them losing their lives. We need to remember the police and the rescue workers who likewise, even though their life was at risk, they could have turned and they could have run and they could have gotten away and been safe, but they chose to go to save people. The police who have stamped on their cars so often to serve and protect, who charged into a situation to protect the lives of those who needed it. One thing that September 11th has shown us, folks, is that we never know, none of us ever know how much time we have or how much time those around us have. And for that reason, it's imperative that we spread the news of the saving gospel of Christ, and that we share it with everyone we can. One of my first questions, or one of the first thoughts that went through my mind as the numbers started coming in and all of these that had been killed, and I don't have an answer for it, and I'll tell you that up front, but how many of them knew Jesus? I don't know. And folks, it's disturbing to think that lives were taken senselessly, and some of them didn't know Jesus. Focus on the Family magazine did an article, and this was way back in 2002. And it talked about a man by the name of Al Braca. Al worked on the 105th floor of Tower 1. When he realized that they were trapped in the building and would be unable to escape, this simple man who worked up on that floor shared the gospel with 50 of his co-workers and then led them in a prayer. And some of those same individuals had in the past mocked him and made fun of him for his faith. If September 11th can teach us anything good at all, it certainly shows us that by following the model of Christ, ordinary Christians like you can be heroes. Who hasn't heard about the heroic act of the passengers aboard United Airlines Flight 93? And one of those passengers by the name of Todd Beamer, in a conversation with a telephone operator, he told her that the plane had been taken, that it had been hijacked, and that the passengers were discussing ways to overpower the hijackers. He ended his conversation by asking the operator to pray with him. And the last words the operator heard him say were, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." That heroic sacrificial action by those passengers to bring down the plane no doubt saved many lives, as the hijackers were denied their ultimate target. Not sure what it was. Many have thought that it was the White House and the President of the United States. Folks, as we remember, we need to remember that Islam is not just another denomination. And the media has made much of reporting on the religion of Islam, perhaps in an attempt to get people not to react negatively to Muslims in this country. An effort has been made to normalize the adherence to Islam. But I tell you what, folks, let's not be confused. Islam is not just another denomination. It's not like the Methodists down the street or the Baptists across town. And just because they worship one God doesn't mean that it is the same God that we worship. Allah is not our God. But it's enough to say today that although everyone has the freedom to worship as they see fit in this country, and I support that, we do not, nor should we accept that Allah is just another name for Jehovah. We don't accept that. We need to remember what this has revealed and this event revealed to us about the state of the church. Perhaps one of the most distressing things of all that came out of this crisis and what occurred on September 11th, it really did reveal a lot about our country's relationship with God. Immediately after the attacks, church attendance spiked for several weeks, and it was rising in some places to more than half of what their normal attendance had been. By November, after the attack, the attendance had gone down. Back down to the same level as it had been before. The same thing happened, my friends, with the Gulf War. The same thing happened with the tsunamis. The same thing happened more recently with the earthquake in Haiti and Japan. And in some cases, churches attendance has fallen below the level of what it once was. George Barna. He's a church statistician. And he professed in his studies on this his amazement by saying, "I am among those who fully expected to see an intense spiritual reaction to the terrorist attacks. The fact that we saw no lasting impact from the most significant act of war against our country on our own soil says something about the spiritual complacency of the American public." He went on to say that he felt that the influx was due to irregulars. That's those who attend once every month or so. Suddenly returning on a consistent basis for a month or so before they fell back into their regular pattern of irregular attendance. Harsh statement on the church. Harsh. We need to be reminded of where we look for strength. Yesterday we went to this wonderful seminar, this wonderful conference, Sharing Hope in Crisis, and it taught us and helped us to learn how to share, how to speak, how to help people, whether it is the loss of a family member, whether it's a natural disaster, whatever it might be, how do we interact, how do we cope with those who are in crisis? We need to be reminded, folks, where do we look for our strength in that time of crisis? Psalm 46. Wonderful passage, and I want to share it with you this morning. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." And I want you to think of things going on as I read this and what's happening in our world and in our earth and on this planet. It says, "Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Verse 10, I just love this. One of my favorites says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Folks, in this psalm, David encourages believers in times of trouble. Psalm 46 is famous. It's an inspiration for Martin Luther's hymn, and some of you know it, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And when David said, "God is our refuge," what he meant was that our sense of security is not derived from our nation's defenses, but that it rests in our faith in God. God and God alone is our refuge. And in times such as these, we cling to Him. As believers, we need to remember that our feeling of security and safety goes beyond any of the measures of homeland defense or homeland security. Goes beyond the metal detectors. It goes beyond the security checks. It goes beyond military power or political alliances or the strength of our economy. Our faith must rest solidly on our relationship with a living God. That's it. That's our security. Listen, security is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of confidence and courage in the midst of trouble. When tragedy occurs, there are tears. Tears of those directly affected and tears of sympathy. And David reminds us that God is not only our refuge, but He is our strength. Strength. Folks, strength is the ability to rise above tragedy, even with tears in our eyes, and go forward. We find strength in that. God's not just some far-off source from whom we can kind of seek advice, but the psalm tells us that He is a very present help. Let me ask you, when have you prayed for that help? When have you prayed for that help? We go on, and I was talking to someone the other day, and this was an issue. God is a very present help in times of need, in times of stress, in times of good, in times of bad. But when do we go and when do we come before God and ask for that help? Ask for His presence. Ask for Him to be there. Do we wait? Do we wait until the country's at war and towers come down and people are killed? God is not only a very present help in times of trouble, He's a very present help when things are good. David ends this great psalm by reminding us in verse 10 that it's when we're overwhelmed that we need to allow God to move. Do you remember the chaos 10 years ago? People running around, people trying to figure out what was going on, trying to figure out what was going to come next and what was going to happen and how do we respond, and the airways were shut down and planes couldn't fly and jets were flying over and all of these things were going on and it just seemed to be chaotic. And in the midst of the chaos, God speaks to the church and He says, "Be still. Be still. Be silent. Be at peace." I love it. "And know," He says, "and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. And folks, when we're chasing after all of the disturbances of life, and when we're chasing after all of the things that keep us from being close to God and distract us, and when we focus on the floods and the storms and the earthquakes and the fires and all of this that's going on, God's message that touches our heart, He says, "Be still. Chill out. Take it easy. And know this one thing, I am God." That's what He says. And that brings a lot of stuff together because He is God. And He's saying, "I got this. You can't fix it anyway. Be still, calm your heart, and know that I am God. I am sitting on my throne, and I am the same God that created the universe, and I'm the same God that knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I am the same God that has been there with you and walked with you all of your life. Be still and know that I am God, and this is going to pass." And he says, or David says, as God is speaking, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Verse 11 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Those towers have been destroyed, and with them symbols of America's security and prosperity came crashing down. But beyond all the tragedy and all the tears, the terror and the fears, one symbol still stands strong, and that's the cross. With everything else that fell over many generations, the cross is still there. We know God wasn't surprised by 9-1-1, but he was saddened by it. He didn't cause 9-11, but he does comfort those who were affected by it. And God may not choose to prevent future acts of terrorism or natural disaster. Remember that the earth we live on is also a shifting earth. But he will provide peace in the hearts of those who turn to him. And at times such as this, when we remember, more than anything else, I believe that we need to be reminded, and hear me, please, God cares. God cares. And he reaches his hand out of heaven. And he touches our shoulder, or he touches our heart. And he says, I love you. And I care about you. Your concerns are my concerns. The Bible reveals to us that God does indeed care. In the Phillips translation, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties on him, for you are his personal concern. The Living Bible paraphrases that verse with these words. And take these to heart today, would you? Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. God cares. He cares so much. And it's comforting to know that God is aware of your feelings today. And yes, today, he desires to comfort you. Would you bow your heads? It is a time to remember. And remember the tragedy. But it's also a time to remember our great and awesome God. And that he is there today, just as he was 10 years ago, to deal with your heart, to comfort you, to see you through difficult times and times to come. There will be more wars. There will be more disasters. But God is there, reaching out to touch you, to touch your heart, and to provide comfort, to see you through it, to help you understand those things that don't make sense. God is there. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Father, for pouring yourself into us that we can know you care and you're concerned, and that our worries and our concerns are your worries and your concerns, and you're the one that has the answers. Father, we continue to remember 10 years ago and the disaster that took place, and that there are families that are suffering so much today, and they have for so many years. But Father, we pray for your peace. We pray, Father, for your comfort, that you would provide it to those who ask. Those here today who, for whatever reason, are facing their own crisis, their own tragedy, their own events, the thing in their life that is current and real today, Father, just touch their hearts and give them your love and your peace. Let your grace be poured into them. Father, I pray that our hearts, our minds would always be focused on you, and in those difficult times, that we would not forget to just be still and know that you are God. Lord, I lift this to you in Jesus' name.